Our Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for your many blessings of life. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, your only begotten Son, who you so loved the world, Father, and you gave your only Son, and he gave his life. It was him who said, greater love hath no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. And through your word we've learned, but though we are sinners, you gave your Son. You commended your love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, your Son would die. He would be cruelly treated, brutally beaten, and suffer on the cross. Shed his blood that would wash our sins away and purchase his bride, his church, the church of Christ. And Father, we pray that we bring glory to your name through this program as we preach your love and hang your Son on the cross, that the world may see, as he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We pray, Brother Flounder, tonight we'll hang him on the cross and let the drawing power of the cross bring men and women, boys and girls, to a state of repentance that they too must ask, what must I do to be saved? That their heart would be pricked. Give him what he needs, Lord, tonight, to prick the heart of those who are listening tonight. And Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters across the nation who join us every night from 9 to 9:30. And a special prayer for our visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ as they listen to this truth. We pray that they will receive your word with meekness, knowing it's able to save their souls. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Flounder, it's your time.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. I appreciate the opportunity to be here on this evening. I appreciate being selected for this task. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to God's people and to share just a portion of God's word. For those listening tonight who may not be members of the Church of Christ, my exhortation tonight is that you hear this message and obey the gospel. I'd like to send you greetings from the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, where I co-labor with Brother Tyrone DuBose. Our theme this month is important, speaking about the same thing. That theme that Brother Brooks has selected is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, where Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul, the inspired apostle, is appealing to the church at Corinth for unity. In this divine appeal, he exhorts them to the fundamental importance of speaking the same thing, and that in speaking the same thing, they're also be no divisions amongst them. And as Christians, we are to be perfectly joined together. We are to be perfectly and completely in the same mind and also in the same judgment. So what does that mean exactly? Meaning that if what Paul exhorted then is still relevant and binding today, and though the changing winds of time and culture are blowing as I speak, know assuredly that change and culture have no bearing nor effect on the Word of God today. For instance, 1 year may pass, but God's Word will remain the same. 100 years may pass, but still God's Word will remain the same. 1,000 years may pass, but still God's Word will still be the same. 2,000 years have passed, and yet God's Word still remains the same. Because of that, what I communicate to you this evening should be identical or the same thing and be in agreement with what the apostles communicated to the church then. So if any man has the audacity to speak a word on behalf of Almighty God, let him speak as the oracles of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. My subject tonight is He That Shall Be Saved. It's taken from Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 through 16, where Jesus is issuing the Great Commission in Mark's account, where he says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This title, if you will, is the sum total of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 regarding the Great Commission. Jesus says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice in what Jesus communicates. Belief is required for salvation, yet it is not the only requirement for salvation. This is evidenced by the word that we have in between belief and baptism, that word being and. And serves as a conjunction which connects both thoughts. So when you put both of these requirements together in the same order in which they are presented, then the result is salvation. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not say that he that believes is saved. Notice Jesus does not say that he that is baptized shall be saved. Both components or requirements are necessary in order to achieve the result that Jesus says is achievable. So when you take the statement that Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that word believeth means to continue on believing what had been presented. It also connects that through one's belief and as a result of believing what had been presented, the next requirement is baptism. Once those are done in that order, Jesus says, he shall be saved. So what is it that one needs to believe? Well, Jesus mentions that in verse number 15. He says, go ye into all the world and preach. Well, Jesus, what needs to be preached? He says simply, the gospel. The gospel needs to be preached. The gospel needs to be believed. Well, what is the gospel? Paul identifies this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, but by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul, in this particular text, is giving us the definition of the gospel, that it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. There is an importance in us knowing this evening in every perfected gospel sermon how Christ died. We must also know that it had already been prophesied how Christ would die according to the scriptures. It was prophesied that Christ would be buried. It was prophesied that Christ would rise again the third day. And these things did in fact come to pass. But in Jesus proclaiming the need for the gospel, that the gospel to be preached, understand the power of the gospel. It was Paul who would write in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16 through 18, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But why is there a necessity for people to be saved? Why has God made salvation available to people today? Well, look what Paul writes in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, sin is a powerful indictment, is a powerful transgression that God has identified as being one that separates him from us. Now notice that when sin takes place, God is still in his holy position, but God separates himself from sin when we depart from him. When you look at this powerful word sin, we must begin to lay out this indictment this evening and understanding, first of all, that according to the scriptures, according to what Jeremiah recorded in Jeremiah chapter 24 and 37, that God is the God of all flesh. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 32:27, that God is the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for God? So an understanding that if God is the God of all flesh, then God commands all men everywhere to come to repentance. The necessity for repentance is clear. Paul would also write in Romans chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, in continuing God's verdict against mankind regarding sin, where he says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile." God convicts all mankind, whether an individual was a Jew under the old law, or whether an individual is a Gentile. God has convicted the entire human race of being guilty of sin. In fact, Paul would say in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Why is sin so significant? John would write in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Well, when we sin, look what Jesus says. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Sin is a powerful transgression by which God separates himself from us. Sin is the dividing line which prevents us from having a relationship with God. Sin is the dividing line, according to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 2, by which God will not hear us, though he is capable. Sin is separation between God and man when man has transgressed against the law of God. When you consider this powerful indictment that God has issued in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," when you consider the end result of sin and one living a life of sin, of one dying in their sins, look what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Henceforth, the importance of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, my subject tonight is "he that shall be saved." It is important we identify who he is. That word "he" in the text is a generic term, meaning is not specific to a particular gender. It is a man, woman, and child who understands. In other translations, it says whosoever. So the whosoever is a universal call for all mankind to believe and be baptized, and what they are to believe is the gospel. So if this universal call is for mankind to hear the gospel and believe, then it necessitates the reason why Jesus died, because it gives us the state that mankind was in. Understand, friends, that in order to understand this topic tonight, you must evaluate your own situation, your own circumstance. I understand clearly that not everyone on our call tonight is not a member of the Church of Christ, but also know that this gospel meeting was put on with you in mind. So in speaking the same thing tonight, just as the apostles did, that I will give you God's prescriptive measure as to how man is saved by what Jesus commanded and by what the apostles also taught and what we can read about in Scripture. So let's go back in time some 2,000 years before Jesus ascended back into heaven to sit on the right hand of his Father. This is after his great accomplishment on the cross at Calvary, when he suffered for 6 long agonizing hours in humiliation because of the sins of the world that we have committed, though he was sinless. Jesus suffered for our sins that we committed. That he was buried in that borrowed tomb that that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus prepared his body and placed him in. That he was resurrected the third day, just as we read about in Scriptures. And now we're at that juncture where he has been seen of some 500 witnesses. Now he is about to ascend back on a cloud to be with his Father. But before he does, he issues the Great Commission. Matthew records the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, is this: "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying that All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That word power simply meaning authority. He then says in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. In Mark's account of the gospel, which we have already stated, he says again in verse 15 through 16 in chapter 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So far, we have a continuing theme that something must be preached, something must be taught, and what must be taught is the gospel. That one hearing the gospel and believing the gospel, the requirement of that person to be saved is that they must be baptized. Well, look how Luke says this in Luke chapter 24 and verses number 45, where he says, then open he the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Again, we're coming from the scriptures. We're coming from the inspired word of God. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel right there. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is in harmony with what had been communicated before, that there is a requirement for the person who is not saved to hear the gospel message, that they are to believe the gospel. But here, Luke also tells us by what Jesus stated that repentance is also necessary, a change of heart, a change of mind that brings about a change in one's life, and that a result of doing these things, in which is synecdoche, then the end result is salvation or the remission of sins. But the appeal, the universal call, just as it was in Mark, just as it was in Matthew, Luke says, all nations, but beginning in Jerusalem. Well, look what John says about this matter regarding the scriptures. He says, and many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. For what purpose, Jesus? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The Great Commission. Then we have Jesus again in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, where he says this about the importance of the gospel as to where the gospel is to go. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. Notice that Jesus is instructing his apostles as to what they are to do. These men did not huddle together and call a work group to decide what they would teach. They did not meet to determine the hows and whys of what Jesus said. The reason being is that this was already predetermined by Almighty God, by his determinate foreknowledge and counsel. In fact, Jesus taught his disciples that this was not something that they should be concerned about because it would already be provided for them. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16 through 20. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Consider what Jesus says about this same verse or this same power in John chapter 16, verse number 13, where he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will guide the apostles into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Again, look at the role that the Spirit plays in these men teaching and preaching the gospel. Well, the day of Pentecost did come after Jesus ascended into heaven. The day of Pentecost did come, and his apostles were assembled just where Jesus instructed them to be in Jerusalem. And look what happens. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. It's the same Spirit that Jesus promised. It's the same Jesus that Jesus said would glorify me. It says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. These men began to proclaim in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the perfected gospel message of Jesus Christ. And in the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel is that God sent his only begotten Son to a sinful world. He showed us how much he loves us by giving of his only begotten Son. There is none like Jesus. And his Son died on our behalf. And in the gospel message, any gospel preacher worth the weight of what the Bible says, that when they speak before people, they should speak only what they can read about in Scripture. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, this might be the place where you say, I've heard enough. I'm already saved. But let me caution you by the words that Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 through 29. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You don't have to wait till judgment day to be shocked. You don't have to wait till judgment day when Jesus will be the righteous judge on the throne to tell ye, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. There's a reason why you're on the call tonight. It is for you to hear the message, he that shall be saved. Well, let me instruct you as to how one is saved. We've identified that it is a universal call for every man, woman, and child who understands. You may be someone who was sprinkled or baptized as a baby, but that didn't save you. Babies are not in a state of sin. Babies can't comprehend. They cannot understand. There's no need for a baby to be baptized. Neither sprinkling is not an acceptable form of salvation that God has instructed us through the plan of salvation. Every man, woman, and child who understands is who the universal call for salvation is intended. In fact, Paul would write in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever, again, that universal call, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and preach glad tidings of good things to come. So we see there was a necessity for a preacher to preach, just as Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, when one hears the gospel message of Jesus Christ, how it was important that Jesus die in such a way for us to have an opportunity at salvation. Look what Paul says about this important subject in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. That doesn't mean that Paul's job wasn't just to baptize only, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He says in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross that was slammed into the ground at Golgotha in Jerusalem, in which the man hanging between two thieves had been nailed, his hands were pierced, his feet were pierced. He had endured a beating the night before. He had endured a great scourging. He had endured great humiliation, but he carried that cross that he would later be hung on down the winding streets of Jerusalem, and he suffered for 6 long hours in Jerusalem for our sins. God laid on him the iniquities of us all, according to Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus suffered. Jesus was on the cross. And when he died, the Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse number 34, that the Roman soldier pierced his side and outflowed blood and water. Oh, outflowed the measures by which we can be saved. They hurriedly buried Jesus because the Sabbath day was approaching. The tomb that he was laid in, no man had ever laid. He was in the ground Friday, Saturday, and he rose Sunday morning with all power and authority, just as the scripture said that he did. So when one hears the gospel, what I have just shared to you must be included. It must be included for someone to have a chance at salvation. It must be included because this must be believed, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus Christ did in fact build his church just as he promised in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gospel, those components that one must hear of Jesus and his church. So let's do this. Let's examine what you obeyed, what you believed, and let's weigh that against with what Jesus and his apostles taught. So in preaching the gospel, it is a requirement that the preacher should always extend to you heaven's invitation. Heaven's invitation is what God issues of what God has mandated by which man can be saved, and it is according to the instructions that glorifies his Son. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 29, Jesus says specifically that the first of all commandments is to hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one God. Again, we see the requirement from Jesus that it is necessary that one hear. Well, if that's what Jesus said, what did his apostles teach? His apostle said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22, this is Peter speaking, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So again, it is important to hear the gospel message proclaimed. That when one has heard the gospel message, when one has heard that form of doctrine, one is now in a position in which it must be believed. Well, what did Jesus say about that? Look at John chapter 6 and verse number 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him and whom he hath sent. Well, we know by John chapter 3 verse number 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father sent the Son. Jesus will say later in John chapter 8 verse number 24, I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. One must believe the gospel message about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If that's what Jesus said is required, if that's what the apostles taught, what does your so-called pastor or priest or reverend or whatever religious title that man has given himself, what do they say? The Bible does say that men can teach another gospel. Man do teach a corrupted gospel. But in order to make sure you're preaching the one pure gospel, it must be the same thing that the apostles taught. We must be speaking the same things. The Hebrew writer would also say in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see that belief is important, just as Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, in verse number 16. But we've also seen in Luke chapter 24 that repentance is a part of this gospel plan. What did Jesus say about the matter? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5, that I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He would say later in chapter 24, verse number 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their minds to understand the scriptures. And he says in 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Jesus commanded repentance. His apostles taught repentance in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught it. What does your pastor, your reverend, your father, whatever religious title man has given himself, what do they tell you? Look what Peter would later say in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus commanded it, and the apostles taught it. What does the Bible say about confession? Is there anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said confession was unto salvation, that it is a necessary component to salvation? Absolutely. Look at Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Well, Jesus commanded it. Did his apostles teach it? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 through 11. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Well, know what I just said, is that Paul didn't say that confession saves you. He says confession is unto salvation. It's not into salvation, but unto. Well, what does your pastor, your reverend, your whatever religious title at denominations, what do they say? Some may say this is sufficient. Simply call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Do everything but baptism and you'll be saved. But Paul does not command that by any degree of imagination. He says confession is unto salvation. Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught it. But what does your religious leader say? Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm giving you the pure and unadulterated gospel. There are men who corrupt the gospel and preach another gospel different from what the apostles taught, different from what we can read, who wrongly divide the word of God. That's what Jesus said. But what did his apostles say? His apostles taught the same thing as Jesus. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what purpose, Peter? For the remission of sins. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26 through 28, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptism is an important component, just as the others, as I've given you tonight. We must hear the gospel. We must believe the gospel. We must repent of our sins. We must confess Jesus. We must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, look what the Bible says transpires next. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Men are in a state of deliverance from sin. Men's eternal consequence has changed from condemnation to one into salvation. But the Bible says they are added to the church. Well, what church are they added to? Well, in the first century, they did not have the religious division that we have today. There were no denominations that existed. Jesus promised to build his church, and that church that he purchased with his own blood, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. So if they are added to the church, and Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18 says that the church is Jesus Christ's possession, then we must also understand, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 40 and Ephesians 4 and 4, that there is only one church or one body. The Bible says specifically that there is one body, but Ephesians chapter 1, 22 through 23 tells us that the body is the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18 also signifies that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. No man who founded a religious denomination is the head of the church that Jesus built. In fact, that church is not authorized by the Father. The only church that God has ever issued a certificate of authenticity is the one by which his Son purchased. He that shall be saved is he that obeys the gospel, responds with obedient faith to the plan of salvation, and is a member of the church of Christ. That's who shall be saved. That's how you are saved. By the gospel message of salvation of Jesus Christ, by believing in him, by believing what he accomplished at Calvary, by believing that he is our resurrected Savior, and that by no other name among heaven can men be saved. Jesus is our Savior. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. By believing that the church that he established can be identified today and practices that can be identified by Scripture. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all by the name of the Lord, by the authority of Jesus Christ. He that shall be saved are those who believe on the gospel, and baptized, they shall be saved. We don't prescribe to Calvinism that once saved, always saved is not anywhere in the Bible. But that upon baptism, we live a life faithful unto death, living under the instructions by which God has given us of how the just shall live by faith. If you have heard something on this call that you have a question about, please don't hesitate to contact me. My name is Anthony Flunder. I can be reached at 806-787-2564. May God have a blessing to those who are hearing the message at this time. I now turn you back over to the hands of Brother Tommy Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much. He that shall be saved, it's real clear, is he that believeth, as Jesus said, and is baptized shall be saved. It's real clear. We're trying to teach people that you got to believe that the Bible is right over you. If you believe that the Bible is right, and you say you believe in Jesus, then you got to believe it. That what he commanded in Mark 16:15-16, he go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Brother Flunder taught tonight. If you have questions, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we'll make the arrangements for you to have a personal Bible study if you need more information. You need more questions answered, want someone to talk to you one-on-one. You want Brother Flunder to talk to him. We'll get you in touch with him. He'll be happy to take the time to explain further and answer any questions that you have. If you want to go back and listen to our program tonight, go ahead and listen to the recorded message. Go to HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there the recorded message will be posted for you to download. Go ahead to our website, go to More Nationwide Gospel Call, and all of our calls from last year to now through the month of May, we're headed to a 1 year of doing this whole program. There's plenty of sermons on there for you to listen to. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord, your Savior, our Savior, your Son, who gave his life on the cross, died that shameful death on the cross, and shed the blood and washed our sins away in baptism, as we teach you through your word. Same blood purchases bride, his church, the church of Christ. Lord, we pray your blessing upon our listening audience tonight. Those who are not members of the church of Christ, that they have received your word with meekness, knowing it's able to save their souls. They will trust that your word is right over them, their parents, and anyone who they have in this life. Your word is right. We pray, Father, that they will obey before it's everlasting, eternally too late. That's our prayer, Father. We pray and thank you for Brother Flunder, for the Church of Christ there in Manhattan Heights, for his co-laboring there with Brother DeBose. We pray for Brother DeBose. We pray for their congregation. We pray for their ministry and all those who serve with them as they serve you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all you do. We pray your blessing upon our ministry, our outreach, our nationwide gospel call, as we go into the homes of those who will allow us to come in for 30 minutes with a sound preacher. We pray your blessings upon our effort, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, great night tonight. Off to a great start this week. Tomorrow night, Brother James Dale, the Save, the Inner Church. He's from Phoenix, Arizona. Then Jerry Norris from Dallas, Texas. Baptism Now Saves Us. Thursday night, Brother Richard Olam from Midland, Texas. What One Must Do to Be Saved. Then closing it out, Brother Greg Weston from Lubbock, Texas. Are there few to be saved? And that would end the month of February. Then we would go into the month of March. And I'm telling you guys, ladies and gentlemen and friends, we have a great group of new preachers. Many of you have not heard. All right, y'all join us tomorrow night. James Dale. Love you all. Have a good night. May God bless.